Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Bev. For years, more than I care to count or figure, I've always said there's two sides to every story. Well, in this year that I celebrated the 32nd anniversary of my 39th birthday, I've changed my opinion. I've learned that whether or not there are two sides to every question really depends on who's asking the question and what's their motivation. I'd be totally amazed if anyone hearing our voices today had never heard how the pessimists and the optimists view a glass of water.
That's an old one, though.
It is. Either half full or half empty. First, the pessimist states emphatically that the glass is half empty. Not only does the pessimist believe the water glass is half empty, he or she probably has no hope of it ever being filled up again.
Bless your heart. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10 in the Classic Amplified Bible, it says, "So for the sake of Christ, I am well pleased and take pleasure in infirmities, insults, hardships, persecutions, perplexities, and distresses. For when I am weak in human strength, then am I truly strong, able, powerful in divine strength." Wow.
Powerful. It really is. President Harry Truman once said, "A pessimist is one who makes the difficulties of his opportunities. And an optimist is one who makes opportunities of his difficulties."
That's a good quote, too.
Great quote. How does a pessimist become an optimist?
Here we go.
Seven words. Read your Bible. Do what it says.
1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, "And we earnestly beseech you, brethren, admonish, warn, and seriously advise those who are out of line, the loafers, the disorderly, and the unruly. Encourage the timid and faint-hearted. Help and give your support to the weak souls. And be very patient with everyone, always keeping your temper."
One more quote.
All right.
This from one of our favorite, Zig Ziglar. The master motivator, author, and Southern Baptist layman, who once said, "It might interest you to know that the 1828 Noah Webster Dictionary identifies the optimist in complimentary terms, but says nothing about the pessimist. The word pessimist was not in our vocabulary at that time. It's a modern invention, which I believe we should disinvent."
That's good.
A great quote by Zig.
It is. Second, the optimist believes the water glass is half full. If I could only choose one scripture as the guide for optimists, let me think of what that would be. How about Romans 8:28? We talked it over, didn't we, honey?
We did.
Romans 8:28. I'm going to give it to you in the Classic Amplified translation. It says, "We are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose." Do you have seven keys?
I do, baby.
All right.
And that's a power of scripture, too.
It is.
Seven keys to being an optimist. Number one, read your Bible, do what it says. Number two, have an attitude of gratitude. Number three, practice forgiveness. Number four, never be envious, jealous, or covetous. Number five, be happy by smiling and laughing more while frowning less. Number six, stop blaming others and making excuses. And number seven, read books and listen to CDs that motivate you to be a better you.
And boy, you'll live a happier life. Here's a couple other great quotes on what it means to be an optimist. One is from Tom Baudet, the founder of Motel 6.
We'll keep the light on for you.
That's it. The difference between an optimist and a pessimist? An optimist laughs to forget, but a pessimist forgets to laugh.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a great quote.
It is.
And another one a little more serious is Dr. Billy Graham. Bless him. I'm an optimist. I know God and I have read the end of the book, and it assures me that we are who we are in Christ have the victory. Hallelujah, and he's enjoying his victory.
Amen.
In Joshua 1 verse 9 of the Classic Amplified, this should give us each a little confidence to be optimist, because the verse says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong, vigorous, and very courageous. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God," I always love it when they say the Lord your God, "for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." You know something good's going to happen when
that's
he says
exactly
the Lord
right.
your God.
Is so, with you wherever you go.
That's right. In determining whether or not a glass of water is half full or half empty, there are actually several viewpoints, really, to consider.
Third, this is one of them. The realist says, it's a glass with water. What else do you need to know? Some people consider the realist the perfect balance between being a pessimist and optimist. When it comes to politics and politicians, the pessimist would say, politicians are all the same. You can't trust any of them. The optimist would say, there's some good politicians. We just have to look for them.
Hard. I'm sorry.
That's funny. The realist would say, the problem with political jokes, they get elected.
That's a good question.
What does the Bible say about being a realist?
In Romans 1, verses 19 and 20, Romans 1, 19 and 20 in the Classic Amplified, it says, "For that which is known about God is evident to them and made plain in their inner consciousness, because God himself has shown it to them. For ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature and attributes, that is, his eternal power and divinity, have been made intelligible and clearly discernible in and through the things that have been made his handiworks. So men are without excuse, altogether without any defense or justification."
Wow.
Supposedly,
a realist sees things as they are.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between a pessimist, optimist, and realist is found in this quote by, I love this guy, William Arthur Ward, an inspirational writer, the author of The Fountains of Faith, who once said, "The pessimist complains about the wind. The optimist expects it to change. The realist adjusts the sails."
Wow. Fourth, the idealist thinks the glass of water should be completely full. Two of our favorite quotes on being an idealist, as we were looking through quotes, President Woodrow Wilson. President Wilson once said, "Sometimes people call me an idealist. Well, that is the way I know I am an American. America is the only idealistic nation in the world."
Wow.
And Henry Ford, very popular guy, said, "An idealist is one who helps the other fellow to make a profit." Wow. When it comes to the Word of God, it's easy to be an idealist. Once we realize a reality of, say, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6, this in the Classic Amplified Bible, it says, "For who has known or understood the mind, the counsels and purposes of the Lord, so as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge? But we have the mind of Christ, the Messiah, and do hold the thoughts and feelings and purposes of his heart." Wow, wow, wow. If we focus on the Word, then it's easy to view things from an idealistic perspective because we have the mind of Christ. And every morning when we wake up, we need to praise God that he woke us up with the mind of Christ functioning fully and freely within us.
Fifth.
Hallelujah.
Good stuff, baby. Fifth, let's look at the glass of water from a political perspective.
Are you sure you want to?
I do. The socialist wants to take your glass and water and give it to somebody else. Then the socialist wants to bring the glass back to you so you can fill it with water, then he can give it to somebody else. The socialist will never pay you for the water or the use of your glass. The capitalist wants to know if there's more water in glasses so it can be sold for a profit. The capitalist will explore and network in opportunities. The capitalist realizes that with the profit from the sale of the water, he can be used to quench the thirst of many people. The environmentalist wants to know if the detergent used to clean the glass is biodegradable. The environmentalist also wants to save the water, even though there are people who are thirsty and just won't survive without water. The anarchist and the terrorist don't care who the glass belongs to. They just want to break it. And it doesn't matter to them whether the water was for a child or a person who's sick. In reflecting on these various political perspectives, two scriptures came to mind.
2 Thessalonians 3:10 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, "For while we were yet with you, we gave you this rule in charge. If anyone will not work, neither let him eat."
When you take something that doesn't belong to you, then the scripture is clear, very clear, about who you are.
In Ephesians 4:28, Classic Amplified, "Let the thief steal no more, but rather let him be industrious, making an honest living with his own hands, so that he may be able to give to those in need." Sixth, the feminist wants everyone to know her glass seems less full than the man's glass. Galatians 3:28 in the English Standard Version says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." It's interesting, funny over the years, how many mainline denominations have made fun of Pentecostals and non-denominational churches or interdenominational churches because they were ordaining women as pastors and preachers long before the denominations did. When it comes to a woman choosing to stay home and raise her children and an optimistic viewpoint, consider the words of Brigham Young, quite interesting, who once said, "You educate a man, you educate a man. You educate a woman, you educate a generation."
Wow.
Strong stuff.
And seventh, the opportunist drinks the water while the pessimist and the optimist argue about whether the glass is half full or half empty.
That's funny.
I don't have a lot to say about this one, except that I thought it was funny and a great way to close the call.
Amen. I hope you've enjoyed today. Hey.
Yeah.
Because tonight,
Sunday Night Live,
it's going to be a good one.
Going to make you shout.
And run around.
Run around the place. And if you're not able to catch Sunday Night Live, live, know that we have them on the website.
That's right.
We have the actual video teaching. We have the outline. And our outlines are comprehensive. And
very good.
In fact, I have pastors who tell me they use my outline to preach sermons in their church. And they asked me if it's okay. I said, sure. God gave it to me. Maybe he gave it to me for you. So, anyhow, Sunday night, 6 p.m. And then join us again Monday morning, bright and early, for Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
We're
tomorrow.
Starting off a good month. Good
month. Oh, yeah,
good
we
week.
Really are. It's going to be awesome.
Yes, it is.
Go to HaroldHerring.com. Check out this week's two-minute video. And while you're there, you've been blessed by the teaching up at the top where it says soul seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tonight at 6 p.m. or tomorrow morning at 8:30 or both, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.